Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that you have sent Jesus, the Son. Jesus, we thank you that you took upon yourself our sins. You took upon yourself our rescue, even though it cost you everything. In human terms, you who knew no sin became sin for us. You who died on a cross, died a death that should have been ours, but you also, Lord, you rose victorious. Death could not overcome you. You rose victorious with the promise that all who believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, second person of the Trinity, they shall be saved. They shall live eternally in heaven. Amen. Please be seated. Well, I brought this game. Many of you may have seen it before. It's called Jenga. And if you remember, you play the game. It's a lot of fun. You get it out. Got to get it on a level space. And you got to open it up. And then you got to get it started just right. And there it is. Hey, I did it. And if you remember how the game is played, what you do, could you give me a hand, Ken? Come on over. All right. Now, you know, Ken, there's nothing to it. You just take one block off and put it on the top. And you've played it before, right?
No.
Oh, he's never played it. You want to do it for money?
No.
You have to take one from down here. The ones on top are easy.
I have to take it down here.
From about halfway down. Just take one out and place it back up on top.
But I have to be steady.
Yeah. Uh-uh. Uh-oh. You want me to go first? Oh, okay. The first time, I'll give him a break. Okay, and you all know how the game's played. You just get in here and you feel for a loose one. Woohoo! And you just put it up on top. Your turn. Nothing to this game, really, you know? Well, let's get another loose one. There we go. Uh-oh. Okay. Yeah, whoever knocks the tower down is considered second place. We can't win and lose. You got to have, everybody gets a place these days. Oh, he's got another one. Okay. Uh-oh. Well, that'll be easy. I'll just take that one. Go ahead. Your turn. One more. Come on. That's it. Give him a good shove. Oh, you're going to make it? Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Ah, you can't touch the rest of the tower. There it goes. The tower fell down. We thought we could do it. Any of you have played the game? Have you played it to where it's at an incredible height? And it's so much fun. Well, this morning I want to talk to you about towers and things that mix together and maybe things that aren't easily separated. And that came about because yesterday I was washing my wife's car and I looked down on the side of the driveway and there's this big kind of a crabgrass looking bunch down there. And I said to myself, you know, if I do this just right, I can do it without tearing up any of the other grass. You ever reach down to pull a weed and ended up taking a bunch of grass with you or taking a flower with you? That's what Jesus was talking about. And I am talking about a Bible story, a Bible account that we heard several weeks ago. It's called the Wheat and the Darnels, or the Wheat and the Weeds. And it's a teaching about when Jesus came and he told the disciples this account. He said, I'm going to go out and I'm going to spread my seed in a field, and my seed is the Word of God. Jesus came speaking the Word of God. He came with an authority. An authority that is unlike any of the teachers in this world. Now, the teachers of this world, you ever wonder, how can I know I have the one right religion? Well, I tell you, if you look out there, you will see that the religions of man always have man doing the work. If I'm just good enough, if I just do enough of this, or think enough of that, or say enough prayers, I'll be okay. But a religion of God goes this way. You are powerless. You are dead in your sins. Dead people can make no decisions. Oh, to the world you may look good. To the world you may do all manner of wonderful things. But when it comes to God, who desires perfection, no, not desires, he demands perfection. We must do it, and we must do it completely right. Everyone is sin. No one is without sin. How could I make such a bold claim? I remember in Boulder, I said, all have sinned. And this man said, I have not. I was born okay the first time. Well, I'll tell you why I know that all have sinned. Because with sin comes death. And even when I look at my most beautiful grandchildren, I've got smart, beautiful grandchildren. They take after their grandfather. And have you ever noticed how pretty your grandchildren are? Yeah. Anyway, when I look at them and I see them and all that they have, I know that there's one thing that they also have. Their life began in the womb. Their life began at that moment of conception. But all those lives are destined to run out. One day all of us will die. One day all of us will take a turn here up front. You see, with sin comes death. We need a way to overcome sin. Maybe we can just do enough good works. No. But all our good works are like filthy rags before the Lord. They're like a pile of manure or dirty laundry. If you've ever had kids that were in junior high school, boys, junior high school boys and senior high school boys, what do their socks smell like, Mom? Pretty bad, okay. Well, that idea, that's how our works look. As good as we try to make them, who could save us? Who could save us? And it's Jesus. Jesus comes sharing his message that he is the Messiah. He does what only the Messiah can do. We hear of some healings in the Bible. Jesus healed them by the boatload, by the crowd load, I'd say by the bus load, but they didn't have buses back then. The people came, like the feeding of the 5,000. You think, well, Jesus just fed them. No, he was teaching and he was healing. Again and again, people came to him and he could do what no other holy man could do. And Jesus, he sowed that seed that this is the promise of the Father. I am the Messiah. The time is now. And the story goes on. This comes from the gospel account of the wheat and the weeds. And it goes on that night someone came and sowed bad seed. That seed sprung up and there it was growing up. I mean, at first, when you use the word darnel, and wheat, you have to talk to a real farmer to be able to tell the difference. To all of us, it would look pretty good. But once we know, oh, wait a minute, that's a weed. And that weed intertwines its root among the other good seed. And it's getting a foothold, knowing that if you take me, you're going to take all of them as well. Now, we might call it collateral damage. Well, it's okay. Well, God, you know, if you just do away with them, it'll be okay. But what if them is us? What if we're the one? What if we're the one that gets pulled up and tossed aside? No, no, says Jesus. What I want you to do is let it all grow together. And when the final day comes and the angels come, they will gather the wheat and they will make shocks of wheat, stands of wheat. They'll gather up the weeds and tie them and throw them into the furnace. Jesus said, give it some time. The enemy, as I told you, has been identified as the devil. He has around him a number of helpers and henchmen. They seek to overseed the Son of Man's fields, to oversee them in every single age. This isn't just a story for Jesus' time. This is a story for our time. And when I think about it, standing here this morning, I don't think about going out and sowing wheat, and where's the weeds? I think about, what am I watching on TV during this pandemic? Anybody here watch a lot of Netflix? Or a lot of, yeah, different shows on TV? Anybody getting tired of it? Yeah, okay. But I begin to see, once I've run through all the shows I like, I wonder what else is out there. Have you ever seen a show that, well, it's not really right, but it's not that bad? You ever have one of those? You ever watch a show like that? You ever watch one of these series and you get hooked on it? And then all of a sudden it starts getting worse and worse? And I'm talking about, you know, compromising the way we should live, planting ideas that we maybe shouldn't have. Anybody guilty of not turning it off? Anybody guilty of that? I am. I'm guilty of that, and I have to stand back. I have the last deaf funeral I did a funeral for a deaf lady. That's how you say it. I bought this beautiful crucifix down in downtown with the money the family gave me, and it's on the wall in the man cave. And when something like this comes up, whether it's talking, reading, watching, and I think, I wonder if Jesus is enjoying this show. And I think about, did you have to die for the impure thoughts that this might put here? It really helps me. It helps me to know that Jesus is with me, that Jesus walks with me everywhere I go, and that Jesus has a desire. A desire that we would come to the realization that we are sinners. Sometimes we sin by compromise. Sometimes we sin because we're rebellious. Sometimes we sin and we're not even aware we did it. But we are sinners. We are sinners nonetheless. And the good news, as I told you earlier, is Jesus did come to save sinners. But are we really sincere about wanting to save others? Has Jesus given us the commission to go and tell other people? Have you ever seen somebody or been standing behind them 6 feet in line and you looked at somebody and you went, oh, I'm glad that's not me, or I'm glad that's not my child, I'm glad that's not my brother or my sister? Have you ever looked at someone and went, oh, you know, Jesus loves you, and he especially loves you if you go to the Baptist church. They'll love you more, but not here. You think about the people that are out there. It was a good lesson for me to learn. I learned it at a King Soopers. And I was standing in line, and I was reminded of what another pastor had preached. That all those people standing in line, Jesus died for every one of them. When I was in seminary and I went to work at the jail in Fort Wayne, that's scary to me. There's some people in there that were scary to me. And I wasn't sure I wanted to be around them, and then they showed up in Bible class. They showed up because they wanted to hear the Word of God. Okay. When we think about sharing the Word of God, I look at people now, I'm not a tattoo person, and I look at people that have many tattoos, and it's not something I do, but I go, huh. But I've learned to walk up to them because Jesus loves them and say, hey, tell me about your ink. Tell me about one of your tattoos. You know, if you go to all the trouble to get a tattoo, they'll usually tell you. And you begin a conversation with them. And oftentimes you can find out, well, maybe they have a church home. Is it a church home you go to regularly? Or are you looking for a place to worship? And you begin to share with them the hope, the promise, and the peace that is found only in Jesus Christ. I remember one time I went in a Circle K, and the guy that was running the register, this is when piercings were even a bigger deal, and he had horns coming right out of his eyebrows. You know, look, it was kind of funny, really. But I looked at him and I said, "Ooh, you shouldn't do that. You're going to go to hell." You really think I did that? No. What I said was, "That's really cool. How do you get that in? How do you get it out?" "Oh," he says, "no problem." And he unscrewed it and he took it out and he said, "See?" And then he tried to get it back in and he couldn't. I'm sure he did by now. But would you like to hear about the one who was pierced for your salvation? I know that there are many weeds living out there that seek to entangle you. Entangle you maybe in drugs or alcohol or this or that, of not being kind or not being merciful, of not, you know, sharing the good news with other people. I know there are many weeds out there, but I'd love to tell you about my Jesus. And I want him to be your Jesus too, because you know, Jesus died for you. You talk about the ultimate piercing. When we get to heaven, oh, it's going to be beautiful and perfect, and there's Jesus at the door. And he checks to see. It says in the Bible that your name's inscribed in the palm of his hand. You know, kind of like checking a book. Right there. There you are. Jesus kept those marks for us. He kept those marks so that no religion could say, "Oh, there was someone who was made to look like Jesus. That's how he could appear to rise from the dead." My friends, we have a God who was pierced for our transgressions. He was pierced for the sins of the whole world. He was pierced for you. He was pierced for me. And he was hung on a cross. And that's a pretty cross. But he was hung on a rugged, nasty, splintered, blood-soaked cross, which he had to carry through town, with many people not realizing who it was because he had been beaten beyond recognition. Many people didn't even know, you know, Jesus at that time. And as he's going through town, some people are crying and some people are cursing. And then he is put on that cross, interestingly enough, as they're nailing him to the cross. And I think they went through right here, because in Greek, this is hand. But I think they went through there because there's a bundle of nerves there. And every time he moved his wrist, it was screaming in pain. And then when they did his feet, if they crossed them, drove it through another bundle of nerves and bone. And Jesus hung out there. He hung out there for you and for me. He spent an eternity away from the Father, an eternity in hell, if you will, one afternoon. And he did it because he loves us. No greater love has a man than he lay down his life for his friends. No greater love has a man that he would allow weeds to grow in his garden. Apart from Christ, you're all weeds. Oh, me too. We're all weeds. None of us, in and of ourselves, are worthy of heaven, are worthy of an eternity with God. But God's word changes weeds into wheat. God's word changes everything. Excuse me, getting dry mouth. God's word, it changes everything. I have a song here, and Steve, I don't know if you and the praise band know this song, but it comes from a group called Lost and Found. They appear at many of the youth gatherings, the national youth gatherings around the country, and they are very accomplished. Two people make up the whole band, and they have a song, and they have a song, it's called Baby. And it's the song about a young lady who's about 14 going on 25, and she's had a pretty hard life already. And it talks about her coming into a church. Half her head is shaved clear. Her nose is pierced 4 or 5 times. Her ears look like nothing but hoops and gold. She's got a big Rottweiler dog, and she's got a tie-dyed clothes that are holy and smelly, and she's wearing black tights and big Doc Martin biker boots. And can you imagine her coming into here? And if she came in, what might be our first response? That's the wrong way to say that, Pastor. What should our response be? Come, sit with me. Join me that I might tell you. You see, we don't have to go across the ocean to do ministry work anymore. We've got enough work right here in Greeley. Did you know there's enough people in Greeley that we don't have to take a member from any other church? That there are enough room in all the churches in Greeley that we could fill them to the brim. I pray that God would give us a revival. That when it comes time for harvesting the wheat and they go through the field, if you've ever seen wheat harvest, it's like a giant lawnmower, and it goes through. And I want you to imagine Jesus standing on the edge of the wheat field. And he says, hey, Mike, come here. Get in this combine. Go over the field again. And, you know, looking around going, it's already mowed. Do it again. No, it's already, do it again. Okay, God, if you say. And he gets in the combine and he fired. You ever driven a combine? Oh, these things are cool. Oh, okay. You get in there and there's this big steering wheel and you're in a big glass cage and you're driving along and you're going through the field's already been harvested. And you look in the back because there's a window to the bin where the grain's kept, and all of a sudden it's filling up with grain. This field's been cut. How is it that we're getting more grain? How is it that it's filling up more and more? And Jesus says, because I said so. The harvest is plentiful, my friends. The harvest is plentiful. Workers are few, but you have the Word of God. Don't go worrying about pulling up weeds. What I want you to do is think about how God changes weeds into wheat. And he does it by and through his word. Well, I think that's enough for this morning. I thank you for being here as we have talked about God's word, his account of the account of the weeds and the wheat. I charge you this week to go out and look. Look and see. Everyone you see, even that person who cuts you off in traffic, that's one of God's desires, all people. Rich, poor, big, little, black, white, brown, red, God desires them all. And his plan is you. His plan is me. Let us go forth and share the word of God. And all God's people said,
amen.
Oh, you can do it better than that. And all God's people said,
amen.
All right. And I got to get the service bulletin because I don't know what comes next.